G'day everyone. This week, Seth and Tony welcome Mike Shields to the program. Mike's work and passion overlap in his professional career in the renewable energy field. Mike was a director at the largest privately held solar company in America before branching out on his own with Pinnacle Solar. Until about 2 years ago, Mike was achieving career success, but at the cost of his health. Since then, he's made a change in his lifestyle. He's added discipline to his schedule and leveraged his ability to follow direction and began one-on-one personal training at a CrossFit gym. Mike has now found a balance between work, health, and social life in the box. With their signature wit and humor, Seth and Tony break down Mike's story and help him share how he's turned his fitness around. Please enjoy the show.
Feel like I did when I was a freshman in college and I slept through my first final exam ever of my college life.
You did not.
I swear to God, slept right through it, ran across the entire campus to get, because I woke up late, ran across the whole campus through snow in pajamas, right, like darting through. I get to the class and like everyone is just leaving. Right? And to make it worse, it's public speaking, like 101. So I was supposed to give a presentation with a partner. Okay?
Oh, that's fucked.
Okay? It was unbelievable. And I literally get in there and I look and I just fall to my knees. And I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, how could you miss this thing?
This is the kind of recurring... I have recurring nightmares about this kind of stuff, and you lived it.
Can I tell you the strangest thing? The person that I was going with also missed the final, which was crazy. Some girl, and so the professor let us retake the final exam, and I ended up getting an A in the class. And I became a public speaking argumentation and debate major.
Seriously?
Seriously, that was my major at St. Lawrence University, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes.
No, I was thinking seriously you went to college. Funny. Well, let's not get started directly, but we usually start by asking if, you know, did you work out yesterday, Mike?
I did. I worked out kind of twice yesterday. Double session.
We were in that second session together.
Yes. I know. Wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
I managed to not score on our own goal.
That's a win. We now have a Pioneer Valley CrossFit soccer team, and we went to the last game that we went to and played. Was it the first game or the second game that you scored on your own team?
It was actually the first game and the first time I played soccer in about 15 years, and I was on defense for some reason because I'm an offender. And yeah, there was a ball.
You are an offender.
More ways than one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw the soccer team's record out for the people.
We're 1-3.
That's correct.
However, the game we won, it was a forfeit because you have to have two people of either gender on each of the two genders has to be represented by at least two people, and they did not have enough people of one of the genders.
That's true.
So what happened was they forfeited, and then we played the game anyway, and they scoring-wise, they beat us.
Well, just what's on the books is what matters.
But on the books, we do have a W.
What'd you do inside the box yesterday?
Inside the box, I did bench press.
Attaboy.
And what else did I do? There was something else. Oh, yeah, I did something. Ian had me doing something. I don't even know the name of it. She had me doing something where I had a dumbbell, a kettlebell, and I would squat in a weird way with it or something, with one leg up and one leg down. And
that sounds like something of a sexual nature, to be perfectly honest with you.
But that's what I did. And we altered our workout a little bit because I had the soccer game, you know? And I did a good job. I spent, you know, one of the things I need to work on is my mobility, you know, because I keep pulling things a little bit here and there. And so I did a bunch of mobility work yesterday.
The first time I ever mobilized here, Seth was in the class, and I looked over and watched what he was doing, and I said, oh, I think that's called brobility. Yeah. What Seth was doing.
You got to get on the foam roller.
Yeah.
Roll that back out while talking.
Right. He was on his phone.
On the phone. And then you're going to want to go ahead and pop a leg up on the parallel bars. Do a quick toe touch. Should be good to go. That's all you need.
Seth, did you work out yesterday?
Yeah, but I didn't do the class. I did...
Oh, you're trying to make gains.
I did a stability and sculpt class on my in the back.
So we did you... Is that the Jana Breslin program you're
on? No, it was the Seth Birdie app, if you just downloaded it. It was basically I did some rowing intervals, and then I did some overhead stuff with a kettlebell, and then Mukunda and some other people came in, and then I talked to them for about 15 minutes while their class was going on. Mm-hmm. And then I walked around, filled up my water bottle, did two sets of curls, and then I went home and ate a bunch of Chinese food.
That does sound like Body by Birdie.
Mm-hmm.
I could get on that train. Could you get on that train?
Yeah. It's not a bad setup, guys. I'm telling you. Yeah. The app's for sale, $9.99 if you want to check the app store.
I did the WOD yesterday, which was deadlifts, rope climbs, and dips. And thank God Sean McCarthy was in the class with me, mm-hmm. and we shared a bar. Because
Because you're so much stronger than him?
I was in a keto coma, mm-hmm. and I could not lift a goddamn thing.
Keto coma?
Yeah, I'm trying to do something like the keto diet where you're burning fat instead of carbs, but if you're not really fully in ketosis and you don't eat, your body doesn't have fat to burn, and you don't have any carbs in your system, so your system just shorts out.
So you're telling me you have no body fat for your keto to burn?
Well, I do, but my body, I don't think, was quite adapted to it yesterday for a number of reasons.
You're not so fat adapted.
I don't think I'm fat adapted.
I could share some of mine with you. You could burn this for me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm looking over at it, and Sean was sick all week, but he did well. And then Colette was just crushing it. And she had that, like, game face on, and I had that, like, shame face on. It was awful.
I need to ask you an important question, though. Do you have special rope climbing socks?
I climb legless.
Man, I need to...
I'm going to tell you the secret to rope climbs.
Wait, there's so much I have to learn.
Yeah, I've got the secret to rope climbs. Weigh 150 pounds.
Okay.
Or I just go up with my legs sometimes, but then I come down without my legs.
Yeah.
And I just drop from like halfway up and blow my knees out.
So you go up where do you leave your legs when you go up legless?
I leave them in the parking lot.
Okay, all right.
I don't understand the question.
So you've been squatting and you're trying to get your legs bigger. So the more muscle you put on in your legs, the harder those rope climbs are going to become, because that's going to be useless weight that you're dragging up the rope.
That's the nature of CrossFit. It is a series of compromises.
Legless.
Legless.
All right.
Have you seen my arms? Yeah. I'm shoulder dominant. I'm arm dominant. All right, let's get this party started. You guys want to do this thing?
Yeah.
Here we go. So this is No Rep Podcast. This is episode 1.28 coming to you live. We are absolutely live right now. You could call us right now and you'd get us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one ever calls us.
Yeah, we're... They call us names.
Right.
We're east coast of the United States. We're in Northampton, Massachusetts. We are recording at Pioneer Valley CrossFit, but we are not directly affiliated with them. They're kind enough to let us use their space, as we are members of the box. And we have with us today guest Mike Shields. Mike.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get the clap going.
We got to get that
happening. I got to tell you, if Mike gets the clap, it's not going to be people clapping their
right,
hands.
Right.
Ooh.
Mike's been at Pioneer Valley for a couple of years and is a little interesting in that started out doing private one-on-one sessions, and at this point, I don't know that I've ever seen you in a WOD, and we'll get to all of that. Seth, do we have other sort of introductory things we want to get to before we drop right into the Mike show?
No.
Do you? Do we want to mention our sponsor?
Quicker coffee?
That one? This is going to be one of those episodes where Seth just is using one and two word responses, and I'm going to just carry the program.
Yes.
Oh, this is going to be really tough.
Shout out to Quiver though for they just came out with our Quiver Coffee just came out with the new ginger hibiscus tea in the can. Very delicious. Very delicious.
I don't think I've tried. I've tried there. Is that the one that I tried?
Yes. You had the can number one off the line.
You're right. Yeah. I had the number one.
And then you drank can number two off the line without asking permission.
You left it in my office.
No, and then you gave me can three, which you kindly returned to me. But the ginger hibiscus tea from Quiver.
Very, apparently you like good. This. Yeah. Honestly, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It is great.
Caffeinated?
No.
That one isn't.
Okay.
But I will tell you that the Quiver coffee, their nitro brewed, I left it on my office desk open for about 2 weeks. And I would have, anytime I was like a little bit drowsy, I'd have a sip. And it would just I'd be like bonked.
I drank two of them yesterday morning.
Wow. That would kill me.
Yeah. I don't do caffeine. Hardly ever. Way too much. It's like I'm off the walls.
There's ginger hibiscus tea right in that little fridge right there. I'm pretty sure you have authorization to pull one out.
All right.
And taste one.
Make sure you write that off, though.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. We want to talk to you about a number of different things today. None of which have been written down, but all of which we're going to get to. You came into CrossFit. How long have you been CrossFitting now?
2 years.
2 years. So you came into CrossFit.
Well, just under 2 years.
Did you start in, say, March of 2017?
Really, it was January.
Of 2016, it would have been.
Yeah, it was in...
No, 2017. Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, January of 2017.
January of 2017.
Was that a New Year's resolution?
Not really, because, I mean, I first met Ian in December, but didn't really... We kind of met a few times, but didn't really get going till January. And it was like wasn't a New Year's resolution so much as I hit critical mass. My life is spiraling down regards to my health and fitness. And it's like, oh my God, what are you going to do?
Right.
Do something.
I mean, and at the time, so you came to CrossFit, which is, as we all know, it's mostly about the community, but you started doing one-on-ones. But you came in, you were feeling like crap. You were looking like crap.
Well, those are your words.
Social life was in the toilet. You had very few friends. I mean, I know because you're like one of your main friends is Eric Wilson.
I know.
So you
hold that. That's how you know you're in trouble.
don't hold that against me.
Yeah. So your friend group was thin. Your body was fat.
Yeah.
Your life was in a tailspin.
It was rough. I needed to figure it out. And I had just recently moved to Northampton.
Really?
Yeah, I had just, because I moved the end of October prior to that, so just been here for a few months. And when I moved here,
Is that when you get out of prison, they call it, I'm relocating.
Right. Yeah.
I'm relocating.
It kind of felt like that. I mean,
reintegration was.
It was an end of a relationship, so, the parallels, but no.
Getting out.
Oh, yeah. Let's not touch that.
Let's not go there.
No.
You started doing one-on-ones with Ian.
I did, yeah. Right.
Well, how did that come about?
Well, so, I moved to the area and, how it came about is that Thanksgiving prior to, my dad was talking about, his hiking and camping trips. And I'm like, Dad, I want to go to New Zealand with you and hike around. And he looks at me in a serious way, in a loving but serious stern way, and says, Son, you won't be able to keep up with me. And
burned.
And he wasn't kidding. He was just like...
And your dad's probably like my age.
He's even older than you.
That exists.
Right? And so I was like, wow. And that really struck me. And I knew, every time I looked in the mirror, I was like, what's going on? And so...
Well, what was going on?
I was getting, wide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You weren't getting any taller.
I wasn't getting taller. I was getting wider. And, in my youth, I was an athlete. I played soccer. I worked out. I once had a six-pack. There's even a picture that proves it. But
I've never had a six-pack.
I hit critical mass. And so I started, you know what? I looked into all the gyms around, right? I was interviewing with, you know, personal trainers. Because I wanted to do CrossFit. I already knew. Like, I had this whole image and idea that CrossFit was the best thing to do.
Yeah.
But
have you been disabused of that idea yet?
It's coming up on it, yeah.
Yeah, we're still figuring it out. No, yeah. No, I mean, but it seemed like the thing to do, but I was going to have to wait to get here. Like, I had no intention of coming here initially. It was I had to go figure out how to get in better shape before I could come here.
I think a lot of people do that. They yeah. see a CrossFit gym like, I won't be able to keep up and I won't be able to do things without knowing that there's scales and how to, you know, appropriately do workouts, right?
That's what I thought.
So like, it's like, I need to get in shape and then go to CrossFit.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened to me. And if it wasn't for our friend Eric Ananda, who was like, hey, Mike, you know, Eric's wife Ananda, yeah. She's the one that suggested, she's like, hey, you know, CrossFit has personal trainers. Because that's what I had thought. I was like, I should, you know, I need some yeah. of that one-on-one attention.
And you're a very successful guy, so you can afford this.
Being successful helps to afford that.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, but it's also, you know what, part of it is just prioritizing, right? I mean, you know, we all spend our money on stuff, right? And I was like,
Seth, what do you spend your money on?
Follow-up question, what is it like to be successful? What does that feel like? Does that feel better? Better or worse than doing a good job in a work? Because I don't know.
It feels good.
I'm wildly disappointing to my parents. They don't even have to say it anymore.
It feels good to overcome great adversity. That feels good.
And it can happen in the box, out of the box.
Yeah.
I mean, for Seth, it can happen in the box.
Yeah, definitely not now. Oh God!
But starting in the box is a great place, right? You know, your success here helps, you know, bleed into other areas.
I'd like to say for the record that I find that to be bullshit. Yeah.
Strong disagree.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I've done like over a decade of martial arts. I've done yoga. I've done meditation. All those things that they say, well, you succeed in this and it's and then people learn how to apply that to the rest of their life. That's just crap.
Well, it's a wildly successful man who then started the working out here, and then it helped him be even more successful, right?
The way that it helps you is discipline, right? Discipline is so important, right? And so, you know, when you learn a discipline, then you can simply apply that discipline to other areas.
Seth, can you wake me up when he stops talking?
I'm confused on what this D word is that he's using.
Right. So what happens? You met Ian. You start working out one on one with Ian. And I can tell you what happened because I was there.
Yeah.
So why don't you give your perspective, and then Mike, you can give your perspective.
I first met Mike at Eric's house out at a pool party. And there were like 8 or 10 people there, and he shows up with his girlfriend. And they're standing there, and they're over by us, and we start having a long conversation of like a group of like 8 of us. Mike is a little bit of a showman, as you may have just figured out. So he sort of walks out and steps up onto the diving board to kind of put himself in that ultra alpha position, that kind of star spot. All I kept thinking was, I don't think that diving board can hold that weight.
It was, yeah, loosely attached to the ground. And
I mean, there was some serious bendo. Because at the time, Mike was rotund.
Yeah.
So when Mike walked into the CrossFit gym and I looked over and I went, oh, okay. And then it was pretty precipitous that you started shedding weight. And then, like, over the course of, I don't know, I might have only been 2 or 3 months, like, you lost weight and started putting on muscle, and I started getting angry. I was mad.
He's catching up to you.
Yeah. You come in and start looking at barbells and you lose weight, you know. You put on your running shoes and you start shedding pounds. What the hell, Mike?
I know. I mean, I just did what I was told. I'm good at following instruction. It actually works.
Good. Shut the hell up. Follow that instruction. Seth, when did you first become aware of Mike Shields?
Right before the show, right?
Yeah. When I realized he was 45 minutes late for the recording session.
I thought you needed a... There's, yeah.
No, Mike has been in and around. You used to do some running with Laura.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was...
And that's
that
when I knew I didn't like you when you liked running. Because that's a big no-no.
Yeah, how did that happen? Now, Laura Christoph Hitchens, is that the right pronunciation?
Yeah.
Who is a PhD in nutrition.
Yeah.
And she's a professor. I think as a result of working with Mike, she's now taken a job in a different state.
Yeah, yeah.
And is we no longer see her that much around PVCF, although I think she still lives in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then I turned around and you were like taking like 6 mile runs with her.
Yeah. Yeah, we do 6 to 10 miles.
Yeah. She's a great endurance athlete. So
she's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a nationally ranked crew person.
Yep.
What is that sport called? Crew? Rowing?
Rowing.
Skull.
Skull. Skull capping.
Skull. Yeah, working with her in Ion was tremendous. I mean, and I was getting, you know, the workouts with Ion, and then she was supporting me on the nutrition. And that was the key. I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, seeing some of the pounds melt away. It was doing both the work and not eating so much.
It was like a trifecta, though. It was doing CrossFit type programming, doing long distance running, and getting your diet into order.
Yeah, and most importantly for me was having the support, right? I mean, I, you know, over the past, you know, prior to that, you know, for over a decade, I had started and stopped eating healthy, working out more times than I could count. And I was like, this isn't working. I got to do something different. And so having that support was so crucial to, you know, having those gains and that success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your end game?
Greek god chiseled from stone.
Oh. Very Tony-esque.
I was just going to say, I want to look like Tony.
Oh, no. You want to look like Ash. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No. Actually, you know what? In all seriousness, I want to play soccer again. I used to play soccer, you know, competitively, somewhat competitively.
I saw you play last night. You're not close.
No, not even close. It's not good right now. But I wanted to play soccer again. And that was one of my big goals, is getting in shape enough to do that. And this might sound silly, but I wanted to be able to go to the beach and not be embarrassed. I mean, you talk about me on that diving board and pool. I mean, like, I mean, it's real. I was like, what's going, you know.
Were you wearing a shirt at the beach in the water?
No, but you know when you get to that point where the belly starts to kind of go over the strap?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're there.
It's like,
when you have to drill your own hole in your leather belt, that's in between the last hole. Right.
Can I, you know,
the
leather, the belt piece is so fascinating because I can recall, like, having a belt. Oh, this belt's a little too big. And then just one notch at a time. And I'm like, this belt isn't going to fit me anymore. But then throughout the workout process, I have that same belt. And now it's like going back down.
Huh.
Yeah. The belt is a... I mean, you know, you can take photos, you can weigh yourself, but one of the most powerful positive reinforcement tools is my leather belt. It tells me I'm on track.
Yeah, because I still have those. I lean up against the wall and put a pencil mark where my height level is, and I'm just hoping someday that it's going to go, I'm going to keep growing.
I could have done that next to my sides. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I think that the idea of, there's a concept called creeping normalcy. And so the way I heard it described to me is, you know, you could move into a house. Let's say you buy a house when you're 50 and you paint the walls and you put in all new furniture and it's brand new. 25 years later, if you haven't done anything with it, you probably aren't really realizing how, like, drab the walls are looking, how old the furniture is. And someone else walks in, they haven't seen it. So they look around and go, oh, my God, this is drab. The furniture's out of date. The walls are all darker. The paint's darkened. But you, because you've crept along, seeing it every day for years, you've got this creeping normalcy. It seems normal. So
is that a shout-out to your landlord?
So, but the idea being, if you have something that you're measuring every day, you have some sort of objective measure for it, that kind of creates that accountability to be like, I'm not going to wake up in 10 years and realize that, like,
I've put on 30 pounds because you're checking through you. For you, it's your belt. For me, I get on the scale. But to have something that that prohibits creeping normalcy.
I like that. Yeah.
Are there other things that you use?
I don't know. No, I mean,
you're a scale guy?
I'm not a scale guy. Pictures, the belt, how things fit, you know, that was much better. And, you know, my dad telling me, oh, hey, you might be able to keep up with me now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of one of those, that's the other side of that, isn't it? Of the, you know, you don't see somebody for a while, and they're going to tell you because they don't have the creeping normalcy. You haven't seen me in 6 months, then they see you, and they go, wow, you went downhill.
Yeah.
Or, wow, you've really made gains.
Yeah.
You know?
Why don't they call it going uphill?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You went uphill.
Yeah, you've gone uphill.
I've gone uphill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoo!
Yeah, you can shut a light on or turn a light on or turn a light off. There's some things, though, that, like, phrasing-wise, you can... You shut up, but you don't shut down. Or maybe you can shut down. Maybe.
Well, I've been shut down for years, mentally. Mentally checked out, right? But you checked in? You don't say checked in.
Well, let me ask a different question, Mike. Now that you've been here a while, it's sort of a two-part question. One is, I tend to think of CrossFit as a place that's driven by the WODs, the daily group classes. You're someone who's come in and has been doing one-on-ones. And so what is that experience to you, and how do you view – you must view CrossFit different from that.
Yeah, I've actually never taken a CrossFit – I've never done a WOD. I mean, I don't even have all the lingo down. You guys say things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, box. That's the gym.
You should probably learn that one.
I know, I should. I mean, and I'm close to having that retained. I got it at this point. But yeah, I mean, I think it is a much different experience, and great. I mean, great for me because I needed that one-on-one attention. I needed that accountability. I needed to make appointments because I'm good at keeping appointments, contrary to this.
Yeah, well,
all evidence.
We'll revisit that later.
So that was super supportive. So it has been a different experience for me, but phenomenal. And, you know, it's probably taken me longer to get to know everyone here. And there are still people I don't know because I'm not maybe quite as integrated into the CrossFit community. But so it was a little bit slower. But wonderful. Like, I, you know, even when I come, you know, to do my one-on-one sessions with Ian, I get to see everybody, you know? And, you know, you come long enough, you know, you start to, you know, make those connections, and that's wonderful. I mean, that, you know, even though I'm not part of, you know, doing a specific WOD, you know, I'm still part of the community here because I show up, right? You know? And that's, you know, that's super important.
Just being present, right, helps a lot of, because I think there's a lot of people who don't necessarily do the workout of the day. They do, like, their own programming in the back, but that doesn't mean they're not part of the community, right?
Yeah, I think that it can work. I think it can kind of go either way. I think sometimes it can feel like people not doing the WOD kind of saps the energy away from the WOD. I've had that feeling where, like, it feels like, you know, there are 10 or 12 people in the second room doing one-on-ones or doing their own thing, and then the class is... especially if it's a class of people who are basically just beginning, and it starts to feel like, wow, all the energy's in the back room, it's bumping back there, and I'm up here doing banded distractions.
Oh, interesting.
Which you don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Shoulder pass-throughs and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right, wow. Right, mobility stuff. But so...
I'm the leech, is what you're saying. When I'm in the back room...
Yeah, you're
I'm
leeching
sapping
energy.
The energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just big black hole.
Yeah. Which is all that you've been since you got here, because you've been nothing but in the back room.
Yeah.
You refuse to lend your energy to the main focus of the box.
Wow, jeez.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Who's Rich Froning?
No idea.
Okay. Who's Greg Glassman?
No idea.
I think you should know who Greg Glassman is. That again might be important.
Yeah. Wow. That's funny.
Yeah.
Greg Glassman is the founder of CrossFit.
Like that guy. Good job.
Yeah, great guy.
Great guy.
Yeah. Do you know what a thruster is?
That's where you stand down with the dumbbell things and push them up.
The dumbbell things?
Yeah.
Okay, what's Fran?
Name of a workout.
Okay. But you don't know what the workout is?
Couldn't tell you what the workout is.
Okay. What? Chuck Norris.
Well, so see, that's a trick one because some people don't call it that.
The Filthy 50?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't, yeah. The Filthy 50? No, I don't think I've ever.
That's your college career.
Yeah. I haven't heard of that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's like, I have no idea.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Why is he on this program?
I don't know.
What do you ask?
We brought him in here to cry about CrossFit. He doesn't know a goddamn thing about CrossFit.
Like he said, he takes instruction well. So you're probably doing some of these things that you just don't know that that's what they're called.
Yeah.
Because Ian is like, hey, do this. You know, I'm writing your programming. Do this. This is how you do it. Yep. Like this, do it. You don't necessarily know that that is a shoulder pass through.
Yeah. So right. So here's something that's really important. So when I, you know, given what has been going on with me professionally, right, doing, you know, just focusing on, you know, building a career, I have these, you know, small windows of time. I don't have, and, you know, what I needed was to be able to come in and have someone to tell me just what to do. Mm-hmm. This, so I don't have to think. Like,
bang it out in this 45 minutes.
Yeah, and boom, then, and do this, and, mm-hmm. and have that accountability show up. So, and I'm sure Ian has told me, but it's because she's there to tell me what to do, and there's so much other stuff going. It's like, okay, I don't. What do I have to retain? What don't I have to retain?
By the way, I you know, it's one perspective is that WODs kind of drive CrossFit, and I think they kind of do, but another perspective is that CrossFit is a lot of things to a lot of different people, and I think that the one-on-one programming here is particularly good. I think Ian, we keep saying Ian, that's Ian Tappan, who is the owner of the gym and mostly does, at this point, I think a lot of one-on-one training, and she's excellent in what she does, and there are people who need that solution, and she provides it. Well, let me ask a different question. When do you think that you will ever start to... Oh, I know what I was going to ask. Excuse me. Professionally, you're very busy. How do you strike that balance of I want to be super successful professionally, but I also want to get into good shape? That's a tough sell for anybody. And how do you get there?
Yeah. So, you know, just dialing in my schedule. I mean, you know, having a discipline and a very precise schedule.
What's your job?
I'm in the solar business. Well, things have changed recently, but when I started with CrossFit, you know, I was the director of talent acquisition at the largest privately held solar company in the country.
But what you found is that you were having financial success, but it sounds like at the cost of your health.
Unbelievably, yeah. I mean, you know, I was working, you know, 12 hours a day most days. 6 days a week.
Lucky if I get that in 2 days.
I mean, it was, you know, at times it was nuts. It wasn't very balanced. I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. And so, you know, I learned that the more disciplined my schedule is, you know, the more I can get accomplished. And I just scheduled the appointments and just did it, you know?
I remember what I was going to say now. So you're doing one-on-one coaching and one-on-one workouts, right?
Yeah.
You know, this, our CrossFit gym, The Box, offers a myriad of different things, right? Massage, nutrition coaching, mobility coaching, you know, private sessions for strength, private sessions for mobility. How are you deciding which things you need help with and which things you got? You know, what do you have?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is through the, you know, the instruction of my coach, you know, mm-hmm. Ian, you know. You know, she's, we talk about, you know, goals and what we need to do to get to the next level, the next gain that I'm trying to get to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you talk about massage, right, and mm-hmm. how important that is, you know. She's like, all right, get out. I mean, the first time I had a massage in a long time, she's like, you know, get out your calendar. I mean, she made the appointment with me right then and there. She's like, mm-hmm. do this. I guess that's just what I needed, you know,
right.
Is that little extra.
You needed a mommy.
Yeah, you need a woman to tell you what to do.
Yeah. And that's how she handled the nutrition stuff, too. She's like, all right, you know, you need nutrition. We offer this. You're going to do this. And I just did it.
So when would you suggest someone look into those things? Like, at what point? Like, right from the start?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what worked for me. I started with the fitness, right? Yep. And once I got into the routine of that, once that felt like a habit, I then added on the next habit. So what worked well for me was focusing on one thing that was, you know, that felt like the first most important thing and get that down to a habit and then being like, okay, this is the next piece, and then add that on so that I wasn't going from, you know, not exercising at all, not doing mobility or taking care of myself at all, not, you know, eating well at all, and then just doing every, trying to do everything perfect.
Right.
It was sort of building up to where I was trying to go, you know, sort of one step at a time. And that has been super effective.
All right. I'm going to give you your next entrepreneurial endeavor is that you're going to have a program called Habit Stacking. Because I think habit stacking, first of all, it's catchy. It's a catchy catchphrase.
Yeah, I like that.
And you're
a catchy catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's totally a catchy catchphrase. And you've got that business acumen. You're entrepreneurial. I think you can do habit stacking with Mike Shields.
I love that. Yeah, habit stacking. All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know that anybody's ever come up with that. That's all you.
Okay.
All right. Let me know when you... can I get like 10%?
All right. Maybe one.
See what it's... This is my... Hey, we're going to move on to a couple of different things. We like to quiz Seth. I like to quiz Seth every week. This is how this works. You're on my team.
Okay, good.
And we ask Seth questions. I ask Seth questions. I show you answers. We grade him. Seth, what is a core strength and conditioning program?
A core?
What is a core strength and conditioning program?
As in, like, a human core, like your abs?
I think I'm asking the questions. Doesn't it feel like I'm...
Well, you got to clarify.
It's a good redirect.
Look, the question is, what is a core strength and conditioning program?
I think that means?
What do you think? It's in the CrossFit training manual. If you were a true CrossFitter, you would be studying it like I do regularly.
5 minutes before you come in here.
To understand what CrossFit is at its core.
Core strength and conditioning is... exercises and weightlifting routines that you do that add, I don't know, deadlifts, squats, running, strength, and cardio.
Okay. Allison, what did you think of that answer? You don't even know.
Sit-ups?
Yeah, see, that's my first thought. Is it like, do you mean like abs?
When Greg Glassman, founder of CrossFit, uses core strengthening and conditioning, he means it in two ways. He means it it's core in the sense that you got at before, which is like if you go to college and you take the core curriculum, the main classes that everybody has to take. So in that sense, a core strength and conditioning program is the basic things you need to take in order to become strong and conditioned. But then he means it in a second sense of what you were saying, sit-ups, that your core is very important. But CrossFit, to my mind, is a little, its view of core strengthening is that the opening of the hips to Greg Glassman
is
to Crossfield
it optional
is a necessary component. He says you won't find an elite athlete who doesn't have great ability to open their hips explosively. It's
that's arguable.
Well, but this is what he comes from, and this is why.
How do you explosively open your hips?
Well, the first 2 years I was at CrossFit, I thought of hip opening as like if you're sitting like Indian style, I thought that was hips open. But it turns out
like a pelvic thrust.
Like a pelvic hip opening is like the hinging at your waist to standing up would be like an opening of the hips. Closing of the hips is from bending from the waist down towards your knees. But for example, the biggest one is that he talks about is a push press. So you've got the weight on the bar, you dip your knees 2 or 3 inches, and you do that jerk up to then push the bar up. That is the quintessential hip extension exercise. And Greg Glassman will say that is the fundamental part of strength and conditioning.
In the same sentence, he'll tell you that you shouldn't drink Diet Coke. Next question.
What is an athlete?
Are you asking me what is an athlete?
What is an athlete?
That's a tough question. An athlete is someone who, I guess anyone could consider themselves an athlete as long as you're doing something that you consider to be an athletic type event or activity, which would be, you know, there's different types of athletes, you know, like a power explosive athlete, like an Olympic weightlifter versus, you know, someone who is a professional diver, right? Both of those people are athletes. Both of those people look very different. So it's tough to say who is and who isn't an athlete. Like, is a soccer...
How about the gamers? Like, the gamer, the video games? Are those?
Oh, yeah, those are games athletes.
Game
yeah.
athletes?
Video game
I
athletes.
I mean, is a soccer player an athlete? No. You know, is a football player an athlete? Yes.
Wow. What about a golfer?
Golfer, big time.
Is an athlete?
Big time.
Wow. Baseball player?
Yep.
Foosball?
Oh, the eye-hand coordination there is unbelievable.
Bowler.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So CrossFit holds that fitness, health, and athleticism as strongly overlapping constructs. For most purposes, they can be seen as equivalents. So he sees fitness, health, and athleticism are overlapping constructs. So he doesn't really define it. He defines fitness in a very specific way. We've already covered that. Seth failed that.
That's a good point. You say, like, someone who plays esports, right, who, like, plays video games, is that person, you know, athletic? No. Does that overlap with being an athlete?
Right.
Is someone who is a professional darts player, are they athletic?
Well,
are they an athlete?
He would say no, and I think that because health is so overlapped from the CrossFit perspective with athleticism, athleticism has to at some level improve your health. And he talks about measurable parameters that can be from sickness to being well, to being more than well. And so he talks about CrossFit as the overlapping construct of fitness with athleticism, is that an athletic person has gone from is not going to be sick and is not going to be just well, but if you measure their measurable biological parameters, they're going to be more than well. They're going to have great blood pressure, they're going to have great cholesterol level, they're going to have all of those things.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Because you could see an overweight golfer, right? Are they an athlete? I think so. Are they necessarily going to be constantly improving their health? Probably not. Their blood pressure, their, you know.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point. And I'm just going by what, like, the Glassman's view in the level one guide of what an athlete is.
Is Bartolo Colon an athlete?
Bartolo Colon is a pitcher who probably weighs 320 pounds.
Right.
And he's probably 45 years old, and he's still a successful pitcher in the major leagues. At least he was recently.
I don't know if he played last year. Is he a good athlete? He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
Is he necessarily getting healthier because he's an athlete?
I tend to think of CrossFit as getting more of fitness than athleticism.
Yes.
I think it gets you all of the physical a lot of the physical parameters that you need to be an athlete, but I think athleticism at its core is exactly what he thinks it isn't. I think that athleticism requires a very high level of training and very specific physical skills. So baseball players can, you know, throw a ball 100 miles an hour, but they can't run from here to their car. I would call that athleticism still.
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas I think a person can be at CrossFit and be very fit, but I could look at them and say, but that person isn't a natural athlete.
Right.
In my opinion.
Next one.
Well, that, you know, let's just kind of leave it at that as far as what do you think of Seth's answers? Do you want to give him a grade, or do you want to assess? Do you have anything to add, subtract, multiply, or divide?
I like dividing.
Ouch.
I think Seth did a good job. I'd give him at least a B+.
Take it. C's get degrees, my friends.
And he showed up for the exam.
Yeah.
On time.
On time, yes.
It's time for speed round, don't you think, Seth?
Yes.
I think we should go with a speed round.
These are for you.
We usually end up with a speed round. We just kind of ask quick questions to get people, give the audience a sense of who you are and just kind of get at things.
So far, I really haven't known the answer to any of your questions.
These are different.
Which makes you the best kind of guest.
I mean...
Fire.
Yeah. Number one, what's your biggest fitness goal?
Health. Yeah, physical health.
Okay.
That's actually not true.
Yeah. You just said you want to look good on the beach.
Thank you.
That's true. All right.
Wow.
I want to...
Just say the vain answer, because you know it's the right answer. Yeah.
All right. I do want to look good on the beach.
Okay.
I also want physical health.
Nah, Seth, that's second tier.
Yeah. Seth, what's your biggest fitness goal?
My biggest fitness goal, I reached it, so now I have no fitness goal. I wanted to squat 400 pounds. I did that, and now I would just like to hold on for the rest of my life.
You're adrift.
Yep.
Number two, what's in your fridge?
Cheese.
Lots and lots of cheese.
Love cheese.
Who doesn't?
Oh, it's addictive.
I have to tell you, doing the keto diet and as a vegetarian, you're supposed to eat a lot of fat and maybe just a little bit. Cheese is one thing that there aren't many carbs in it. I'm on a high dairy deal.
Big
right
cheese
now.
Intake right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Huge. And I can't say that I'm not loving it.
Yeah. It makes you gassy though.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't get gassy, but I do get a little bound up.
Bound up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Things don't move as smoothly.
Huh.
Seth, what's in your fridge?
Leftover Mongolian Trio from last night.
Mike, how do you handle failure?
I get back up. I don't ever give up.
I get knocked down. I end up in.
I can answer that one. I stay down, and I've been down for about the last 18 years. So,
during a workout, what are you thinking?
Not much, actually. What's great about working out is it's a time for me to slow my brain down.
Thank you very much for saying that. Seth?
I think how I can beat the next person.
Seth, I want you to acknowledge that Mike has said that there's almost a zen aspect to working out where the brain slows down and you might...
Yeah, you completely have nothing going through your head?
Sometimes,
not all the time.
Well, but so here's the thing. Like, I'll come in and I'm super wound up and stressed about, like, something work-related. You know, partway through that workout, it's like I forgot that...
That's different than being completely blank in your mind, which you are.
Well, you know.
He has nothing.
Do you ever have thoughts about, during the workout, about either that you're doing great, you're doing shitty, you need to do this, you want to get within this time? Are you talking to yourself? Are you giving yourself it, like... Are you yelling at yourself? Anything like that?
Sometimes I talk to myself. Sometimes I encourage myself.
Yes, it's weird. Move on to the next one.
All right. You know. Last question. What would it take for you to become a better CrossFitter than Seth?
Is Seth that good?
No, not really.
Well, he squats 400 pounds.
Okay, so he can squat more than I can.
Okay. He can do Fran in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
He doesn't know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, like, does his girlfriend know?
Yeah.
What would I have to do?
You could outrun him, right?
That's
I don't know.
Not saying much.
All right.
PEDs.
Showing up. It's all about showing up. I'd have to show up.
No, you'd have to do CrossFit.
I don't know if I could do Fran that quick.
You'd have to do CrossFit.
That's right. That's true.
CrossFit is what we do here in this gym.
What do I do? Yeah. I kind of created my own thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Innovator.
Well,
all right.
Okay, I'd have to,
Hey, Mike.
Thanks for coming.
We enjoyed having you here.
I appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.